Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Chicago's very own Bob Surratt starts your day. WGN.
6:38, time for our Monday morning house call. Dr. Kevin Most with us, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And Dr. Most, with the vaccine, I guess things are looking up a little bit, aren't they?
Yeah, Bob, they really are. This is obviously a big week, and everyone looks at it just as today and the next few days, but we all have to understand that this is just the start, and although today's very exciting, we're going to realize that this is going to go on for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 months.
Are you and your colleagues at the other Chicago area healthcare systems all ready for the vaccine?
Oh, yeah. Yep, we are all ready. We have all our vaccination stations set up. We have 20 stations set up here at CDH, registration and then follow-up as well. So we are, I shouldn't say anxiously awaiting. We know we're going to get it, but we're ready to go. We have vaccinators ready to go. We have our list being prioritized right now, and we'll be ready to start vaccinating probably as early as Wednesday.
And as far as who gets the vaccine first, is it up to each state? How does that all work?
Yes. So it's up to each state, and the state of Illinois has decided that it's going to go with initially with hospitals and long-term care facilities, so kind of split up. The long-term care facilities will actually be delivered by CVS and Walgreens, where their individuals will go in and vaccinate not only those staff, but also the residents. And then the hospitals are given an allocation, and then they prioritize. I can tell you the Northwestern prioritization is very similar to what everyone else is doing. They're taking those that are frontline COVID patients, so the individuals working in the COVID units, working in the emergency departments, the anesthesiologists, the respiratory therapists, and then looking, again, taking the next swipe down of if you have any vulnerabilities or comorbidities, as we won't get enough vaccine to obviously care for all the individuals in the hospital this week.
Front page of the Sun-Times, kind of scary. The quote, "Oh my God, this is carnage." And the story from Neil Steinberg, hospitals fighting COVID are also coping with exhaustion and burnout. How are your people doing? What are you hearing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Believe me, Bob, it's on the top of our list every day. So we certainly know that there is some stress. I can tell you as soon as we get off the phone here, I'm going to go down. And we have a therapy dog that greets our employees as they walk in every morning. Yeah. Shelby, the golden retriever.
So, that's a nice touch.
Yeah, it is. And then also Northwestern has really kind of rallied and partnered with individuals in the community as well. And we're making sure that we have special treats for the staff, you know, a way to say thank you and also support the local economies here. So today we'll have hot pretzels delivered by a local pretzel company to the staff. So we're doing everything we can. We're trying to make sure that they get the breaks when they absolutely need them. And we're trying to make sure that we can keep our staffing at an appropriate level. So we're doing everything we can. And we always say patients first at Northwestern. And I can tell you it's followed very closely by staff and physicians second.
Another article that caught my eye in the paper today, the headline, "You can die of COVID-19 without having it." And the point of the story, people are putting off entering a medical facility now to check on various conditions. And I don't know why this is happening, because I have been into doctor's offices, dentist's offices. I went to a hospital one day for a routine test, and everybody was really, really good about being safe, and hand sanitizers everywhere, masks needed. People should not be concerned if they need a checkup, should they?
Not at all. And especially, you know, right now, we saw this in the spring when the fear was there and the uncertainty was there. And unfortunately, we saw people dying from heart attacks at home, having strokes and not coming in until it was too late for us to make any big impact. We saw individuals who weren't getting their blood pressure checked and having problems with kidney disease. You know, the list just goes on and on, which is unfortunate. And everyone should know that right now, the hospital is probably the safest place you can be. And you say, well, wait a second, you have 100 COVID patients in the hospital. I said, yes, but we make sure that they are put in rooms with negative airflow. We protect that area very well. We probably have the cleanest facilities that you are ever going to see in any industry right now. And like you said, everyone here, when you walk here, everyone has a mask and has an appropriate mask and is wearing it appropriately. You're much safer here than you are in any retail store or grocery store.
No doubt about it. If you've had COVID, will you still need the vaccine?
Yes, you know, so it's interesting. The studies from both Moderna as well as Pfizer showed that about 5 to 10% of the people that actually got into the clinical trial had already had COVID before. It showed a very good immune response. So what we're asking right now, especially in the healthcare workers, as we have the scarcity of the vaccine, if you've had COVID, we're going to ask you to wait 90 days. So we're going to ask you to wait 3 months because we know that you at least have immunity for that long. But after that point, we're certainly going to do it. So individuals who have had COVID in the past, depending on the scarcity of the vaccine, you may be asked to wait a little bit because you have natural immunity. But certainly going forward, this is going to help boost your immune system. That's why we're getting two shots. We need that additional booster. Same with someone who's had the infection, followed up with a vaccination will just increase your chance for good immunity.
And then once you're vaccinated, could you still be a transmitter of the virus at that point?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at science, Moderna and Pfizer did not really check that during their clinical trial. AstraZeneca has in a sub-portion of it and has shown that really those individuals won't even shed virus if they got exposed to it. So we need more studies on it. We certainly will be following and tracking that. It'll be interesting to see how Moderna and Pfizer roll that out because that's the big question. Once we know that you get the vaccine, it protects you from Does it protect you from infection, or does it just protect you from getting the symptoms? And that's what we really need to know so that eventually, hopefully in the summer, we can get rid of these masks that we all, you know, don't appreciate.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about, because I thought I had heard that getting the vaccine would not prevent you from getting the virus. It would just lessen the symptoms.
Yeah, and that's very possible with, you know, just like we see each year with influenza, even if we don't have the strain correct, we start to see a lessening of the symptoms. For this one, it should definitely protect you from getting bad symptoms, as we've shown, you know, 95% success rate on the vaccines. But that being said, we had 5% of the population in both studies that still got COVID, even though they were vaccinated. So not every vaccine is 100%, but certainly the big thing is going to be, will we be asymptomatic carriers and not have any symptoms? And that's going to be the big one that's going to allow us to either shed those masks or continue to need them until we get great herd immunity.
It's our Monday morning house call from the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. And Doc, we'll get to some listener questions here in a second, but I wanted to ask you, how contagious is an asymptomatic person compared to someone who is experiencing symptoms? Do we know for sure about that?
Yeah, oh, we certainly know that people who are having symptoms are more contagious. They have a higher viral load for most cases. And usually when we talk about the symptoms, it's coughing, it's doing things that the virus is going to be expelled out of the body for. So we certainly know that those are going to be a little bit more contagious, and they're contagious for a little bit longer. In other words, someone who's totally asymptomatic, we're feeling that if we knew exactly when they started it, which is often difficult since they don't have symptoms, but we're going about 10 days and saying at that time we've checked, and the vast majority of them will stop shedding the virus at that time at a point where they would be contagious. For the symptomatic people, we're looking at 10 to 14 days after the continuation or after the symptoms resolve. So we're very hesitant still because we're not able to identify exactly when that asymptomatic person first got infected. We do it through contact tracing, but it's not as accurate. So really, I tell people, you know, 10, 14 days, let's be really careful, isolate, and make sure that you're not going to spread this.
Many women asking the question about pregnancy, should women who are pregnant or are looking to become pregnant or are still breastfeeding avoid the vaccine?
Yeah, Bob, this is one of the biggest problems we have with a lot of clinical trials. And women who were pregnant were excluded from the clinical trials, which is not uncommon in clinical trials, which the concern about the fetus is always there, obviously. But we have to understand that women of childbearing age make up a big portion of the workforce in healthcare, whether they be doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists. So we really need to make sure that we're going to protect them as well. So it's thought that the risk to fetal harm is very low, but we're telling everyone, please discuss it with your OB or your primary care doctor and to make a decision as to whether to take the virus, just because we don't have the backing from the companies that they tested this during the clinical trial.
When we get more than one vaccine okayed and we're about to be in that situation, and then down the line, many more vaccines could be available, are doctors going to recommend one vaccine over another? Are there major differences other than storage temperatures?
Yeah, so right now, we don't know if a certain vaccine will be better for those over the age of 65, whether they'll be better for those with heart disease. It certainly is going to be the one that we're going to be looking at, especially from an age point of view. We know that influenza, we take that high-dose vaccine for those over the age of 65 to make sure that we get them good protection. This will be a time when we're going to learn through this, as we don't know, because the volumes of patients that got it during the clinical trials has not given us enough data to say this one is better for those over this age, this one's better. The big thing that people have to understand is Johnson & Johnson is the only one right now that's a single dose. So we will get the Pfizer vaccine here this week. As soon as people start getting the Pfizer vaccine, their booster shot in 21 days must be the Pfizer vaccine. Hmm. You can't go from Pfizer to Moderna or Pfizer to AstraZeneca. You got to stay on the same team that you started with in order to get the full effect of that booster shot.
Some people don't get the flu vaccine because they're allergic. Are they going to be in a situation where they're not going to be able to get the vaccine for COVID?
Well, we're certainly talking to anybody who has a high allergy load. You know, people that carry around EpiPens because of peanut allergies or food allergies. Those are the individuals that in the UK, right off the bat, they had a couple of issues with people that had reactions to the virus or mm-hmm. to the vaccine. Mm-hmm. We certainly don't see that right now. There's not a lot of additional, there's no mercury in these as far as holding them. You know, that's one of the reasons that we have to keep it at minus 94. There's not a lot of preservatives in these. They're frozen and then they're used immediately and have to be used quickly. So we'll certainly be asking the question and monitoring that very closely, but it really appears like only those with severe allergies may be excluded.
A lot of folks are going to be getting together like they did on Thanksgiving, and we're all aware of the rules, social distancing, mask wearing, washing hands with soap and water and so forth. But what can you tell people about quarantining as far as a get-together before they get together with family and friends this Christmas season?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting that we look at this and say, we are all still going to get together. This, unfortunately, is one year I would say, please at least consider that. And then people say, well, no, we're still going to do it, but we're going to stay 6 to 8 feet apart. Well, we have to understand that it's 6 to 8 feet apart in 15 minutes as well. So there's the timing factor as well as the distance factor. So if you're around people for hours, even though it's 6 feet, you still have a higher chance. So if somebody wants to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to quarantine for the 14 days before Christmas, so they would be in that quarantine right now, or even 10 days, start in quarantine right now, you'd have to have an agreement that your entire pod is going to do that. Mm-hmm. With positivity rates in the double digits and in some states, you know, upwards of 20 and 25%, I would be very hesitant to be around people that I didn't know were in my pod.
Right. And when you say 15 minutes, that's cumulative time, isn't it?
Exactly. Excuse me. Exactly. We used to think, oh, it's at one break. But no, the studies show that it is cumulative time. So you think if you're around people for a couple of hours, it's just a multiplication of that.
What's the state of testing in our area right now? Is it getting any easier? I imagine it's getting more crowded.
It definitely is getting more crowded, and we expect it to get even more crowded next week as we approach Christmas. Right now, the free walk-in sites are being stressed pretty much. We're trying to open as many as we possibly can. The turnaround time is lengthening a little bit as the labs can only process so many tests in a day. So it's getting a little bit stressed right now. We're still fortunate to have the supplies needed to make sure that we can check everyone who's coming into the hospital as a patient or for any procedures. But certainly in the general public, you're going to see longer lines over the next couple of weeks.
Well, I got tested last week, went online, found a spot in my area, and it was pretty easy. Got the results back within 2 days. And I got to tell you, Doc, once I got the negative results, all of my symptoms disappeared magically that I was having. Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, it does. You know, sometimes it's that, just that reassurance that this isn't what I have kind of makes some of those go away.
Dr. Kevin Most at Northwestern, and he's the chief medical officer at Northwestern's Central DuPage Hospital. Really appreciate your expertise here every Monday morning with us, and I hope you have a very nice holiday and a safe, healthy one, Doc.
You got it, Bob. We'll talk soon.